Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Cheers. It's 11 personnel. Presented by our friends at Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. And the portal's kicking our ass. I'm not sure what kind of show we're going to have tonight, but let's get weird, Luckett. Let's get really weird tonight, because I just, I about snapped on my kids about three times tonight. And that was like the one reprieve I got from the portal. It was like an hour of making dinner and hanging out with them. And yeah, you know, there's a lot going on right now. A lot going on.
Nick, you've seen Jumanji. When Robin Williams goes up to the guy and asks, what year is it? That's what this feels like right now. Like, what? Like, did Brock Vandergriff, did he commit three months ago?
That was a week ago, at least. I mean, like, we've talked twice since the bowl game, and I don't know if we've even talked about Dabo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that was only 4 days ago? I mean, three?
We talked on Monday. Yes. Yeah. We found out on Sunday, talked on Monday. It's Wednesday. Last I checked.
The worst part about this, too, is that just when you're like, okay, I think I've got a good grip on things, like, nope, something else happens, and it just, everything gets flipped upside down, right? Like, I think you and I both wrote today, it went live at 6 p.m. I had it scheduled for 6 p.m. while I was fixing dinner for the family. Man, really light on running back targets. Really light on running back targets. I think Matt tweeted at 5:53 about Chip Traynham. You know, like, it's just like, I mean, just everything's happening so fast. And you know what? That's what's great is, like, if you're joining us now, then you're just going to hear it all happen as it's happening. So, yeah, boom.
It's honestly probably better that way. You could just consume it all at once instead of this breakneck. I've been calling it hell on a swivel season, which it is. I mean, things are just happening like that.
Oh, that's why we got the Icy Hot to help the neck pain, you know?
And nice little news dump over there in Lexington today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tried to sneak it in there, see if anyone would notice. Nice contract extension, because that is worth a majority of an episode.
Yeah, we could spend
today,
a whole...
It's like the fifth thing today that we probably need to talk about.
It really did go... I mean, it was like 8:00. I think I got it... I found... I read it on air at 8:30 this morning, and three or four big news stories have happened since. Each one could earn their own highlight at the top of the show. We are going to talk about it all thanks to our friends at Monticello Bank. You know them, you love them. They're the proud presenting sponsors of 11 personnel. Because at Monticello Bank is where people matter. You matter, we all matter right here on the KSR YouTube channel. Monticello Bank's got 21 branches in 14 different counties. If you're shopping for a big purchase this holiday season, looking to buy a new home in the new year, consider Monticello Bank. Where people matter for a reason. They've been in business for 128 years because they do it the right way. Visit them online at nbcbank.com or visit them at one of those branches in one of those locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. A couple housekeeping things before we get into the meat and potatoes. One, the board is absolutely popping, people. There was a time where I was like, oh, man. I don't know about this KS board. It's if you haven't checked it out and you're like, ooh, should I or not? Like, now is the time to put your dollar down. It's two. You get 2 months for a dollar if you use UK1, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's the promo for KSR YouTube channel users. So if you ever thought about it seriously, there's so much happening right now. It's just pew, 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 pew. And it's a lot of fun. At least I think so. Secondly, we're very close to 25,000 subscribers. Very close. That's a very big milestone for YouTube channels. So tell your friends about us. Smash the like button. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. We greatly appreciate you following along through this all. I know we're doing a little bitching and moaning at the top, but you know, the Irish coffee's just now kicking in. We're going to be rocking. We're going to be rolling. It's fun to do this job. You all make it better. We appreciate you. Help us hit that milestone as we break into transfer portal talk. Where let's just go straight to the most recent, because like that was the my overall takeaway 3 days in was like, where the hell are they going to get a running back? Because Rocket Sanders was the only guy that was of note. And, A, when your name's Rocket, you're going to be highly sought after. And, B, he had a very weird year. So I wondered how – I even wondered just how much UK would – I mean, he's good, and you would take him. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I also wondered what the interest would be after a kind of injury year where things are a little weird there, like – it's like, well, is he going to come back? He might be able to come back, but he's not going to come back. And that was just things obviously soured there. So I was left kind of twiddling my thumbs wondering, all right, who's Kentucky going to get after? Well, they found a dude at Ohio State whose neck is wider than his head. So I think he might qualify.
Yeah, Nick, Chip Trainum here, 5'11", 233 pounds. Was a top 300 recruit in the class of 2020, top five player in Ohio. He's kind of had
Archbishop Hoban, the home of Danny Clark.
That's correct. He's kind of had a crazy journey in college. Goes to Arizona State for 2 years despite having legitimate Big Ten interests, but there was some positional.
What's he going to do?
I would say discourse with him and probably schools. I think a lot of schools liked him at linebacker. He wanted to play tailback. He goes to Arizona State, plays tailback for 2 years, has two solid seasons as a backup to Rashad White, who's now the Tampa Bay Bucks starting tailback. So he was a good player. He was sitting behind after the 2021 season. And then we got 25 K-subs. Thank you very much.
Woohoo! Yeah, you did it.
It's power of the portal. Power of the portal. Anyway, back to Trainum. He was at Arizona State. Decides to go home, Ohio State. Wants to play linebacker. They were short on linebackers going into the 2022 season, Nick. So they add him to play linebacker. He moves. Like it doesn't really work out. He ends up at tailback. This year, he was a part of a three-man rotation tailback. Scored the game-winning touchdown against Notre Dame like a walk-off touchdown there in South Bend. It's not much of an explosive tailback. Only 13.2% of his carries have gone over 10-plus yards. But he's definitely what I would say kind of a pile mover. Got size. He can be kind of your big tailback that can hopefully, you know, get you ahead of the chains. And so I think that's where Kentucky's looking at him. And when you look at the roster makeup, what they have in that room right now, they don't really have that. And I think – go back to Jay Boulware's introductory press conference here at Kentucky. He said he wanted big, powerful backs, right? And that's what this guy is. And so I think the fit makes sense. I would understand some hesitancy, though, because, Nick, he's only been kind of a secondary piece at the two schools he's been at. But market dictates a lot of this.
Yeah.
The running back market has just not been good. Just full stop. This cycle. To this point, we're still early, but it has been I've been unimpressed with the running back market. And I think that is a little bit of a surprise because of that position. But I think this guy could come in with a high floor. You know what you're going to get with him. And I think that's fine. But they're probably going to need, you know, they need – we've talked about this 100 times, but they got to start recruiting high school players and developing them better. They're going to have about 3 or 4 of them in the room, and they'll need one or two of those guys to step up. And then hopefully this guy can just kind of be your placeholder starter.
That's kind of – you mentioned like he's just really been a secondary piece. Isn't that all they need, right? Like I know we went into this year talking about it being running back by committee, and then Ray Davis just ended up taking all the carries. But – you know, James Smith mentions Jacquez Keys, the kid from Ironton, redshirt freshman. Like, that would be – they'll have two redshirt freshmen, two true freshmen, Demi Sumo-Karambe, and this guy. I mean, they that's 6 bodies, right? Only 5. I think I did the math wrong there.
We say that, but they always end up just having one guy, right? Like we said, we've been saying this for a long time. Oh, they'll do this or that. And it always ends up being one guy emerges that they just ride. So until they do something different, that's what I'm just going to assume is going to happen. And then the 1 year we saw a rotation was 2022, and it was awful, you know, when they didn't have Chris Rodriguez. So right. I think they would like to find one guy and just ride him. That's been their MO, and that's probably why Chip Traynham is probably liking the Kentucky Cell. I would imagine he can come in and be the guy. And so we'll see. They're doing a good job recruiting, I think. And I think they're filling needs, Nick. But there is definitely a feel of like, there's just not a lot of flash or splashy names or moves here lately. Even Brock Vandegrift is totally unproven guy. So you're banking a lot of them. Okay, they're seeing something. Let them develop that. But there's definitely a sense of, I think, okay, that makes sense. Show me of the guys that are recruiting both high school, I think, and portal to this point. And Chaka's right. They did rotate backs, but all of us during the 2020 year were yelling, why isn't Chris Rodriguez getting the ball more?
Yeah.
And then in 2021,
he got the ball more.
Yeah. So it's always been like that. I think he fits a need.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I don't want to like overcomplicate it or overanalyze it because it's tailback. You never know. But it's just like placeholder. There we go.
And here's the thing, too. We thought the same thing about Ray Davis last year, and look what he did, right?
That's true.
He exceeded expectations. I think my question then comes to, the transfer portal isn't just open for this week. It's open for a while. There's going to be a second wave after the bowl games. There's going to be a third wave after the spring game. If you aren't completely sold on Chip Traynham, does Adam Luckett, you get to sign off on these. Is this good enough to pass muster, or do you roll the dice for later on and run the risk of being Kenny Payne, and then all of a sudden you don't have any guards that know how to dribble the ball, and you win 4 basketball games? Remember when that happened? That was pretty funny. He's like, oh, I can get better point guards, and just none of them ever materialized.
They have got to hit on these high school kids. They just got to start hitting on them. So I would not be – like you've got 3 pretty young ones in the room, Nick. I would be hesitant on bringing in more than one transfer tailback. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, well, that's my – so, but is do you gamble on somebody better coming in the portal than Traynham, or do you just – you say, all right, this is good enough. This is good enough stopgap for me.
Based on the small sample size market we've seen – I think it makes sense to move on this guy.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. Is like, I don't know. It's probably just going to be a down year for running backs in the portal. Like that's kind of where my head's at. So go get this guy. And you know what? Even if he is just 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy and he's not as explosive, you know what? That's why you're in. That's why Mark Stoops has that long quote about us investing in the passing game, right? Like that.
Mm-hmm.
The running back position. If one of those three, freshmen has to contribute somewhat next year, like that's just a reality. To your overall point, these are kind of stopgap plugging holes temporarily. And you know what? I'll happily plug hole with a guy who hasn't played much, but will go in and hit a walk-off win against Notre Dame, right? Who posts some crazy. He was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder about those numbers because he gets them from the schools, right?
Or a trainer, yeah.
Yeah, where they're like, we clocked him at 22 miles an hour. Barrion Brown was running 22 miles an hour on that return. So yeah, I don't know if
4.340 was reported.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm.
I don't know if that's. I'm going to find that on Chip Traynham's tape.
But, the point being, he's built like a guy that needs a neck roll. So can we get TK to get him a cowboy collar? Like, let's make that happen and just have him just headbutting dudes in the Commonwealth.
Do more things here before we move on and train him. It's going to be his third school. Me, personally, I'm a little hesitant on these 3 school guys. Like,
why are you
going to 3 schools?
If you're good enough,
So that's something. That's a worry point to me. Now, there's reports out there that Trainum's like a great kid, great locker room piece, yada, yada, yada. And he's from Ohio, so I think he's going to probably fit Kentucky's culture.
Mm-hmm.
pretty well.
And I think part of what you can explain him better than most on the three schools is the positional, like nobody can figure out what to do with him, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I just want to throw that out there.
Correct.
That I just want that out there. And then, Nick, ACC's different, but Isaac Grindo was a great find for Louisville this year.
Yeah,
right. He ran for 650, 700 yards, averaged over, I think, like 5.5 yards per rush. It was really good for them. Like, the Big Ten's a big boy league. So, like, he's shown he can play good football in the Big Ten. I think that probably translates to Kentucky.
That's a good point.
So, I think he's going to be a quality player. I just don't know how high the ceiling is.
Yeah.
But I do think at bare minimum, you can plug him in. If you're handing him the ball a bunch, he's going to get – like if you truly use him as an RB1, he's probably going to approach close to 1,000 yards, especially for a line that probably needs a tailback to create some extra yards because we talked about Kentucky's O-line. They're improved, but they're not just blasting dudes at the line of scrimmage and moving bodies. That's just not – I don't think who they are. And so Trainum's a guy – I think for an offense that struggled with efficiency, I think they might be happy with a lot of second and sixes, right? Like, keep That's us true. Out of second and 10. Let's live in second and six. Let's get the third and two cool. on second and seven.
And that would certainly benefit a first-year starting quarterback, one of the likes of Brock Vandegrift, who announced Wednesday morning, bright and early, that he will, in fact, transfer to Kentucky. We talked about it quite extensively on Rapid Reactions. So I don't, you know, we don't need to dive into it a ton here other than just to be slightly redundant and just say, like, I personally am pretty excited about this guy. And I'm a little, you know, what's the right word I'm looking for here? I don't want to say worried, but, like, he needs game reps. He needs game tape. Last year's schedule would have done him a lot of good, right? Instead of, We're going to find out. I guess next week is going to be a schedule release show, Luckett, because we'll get the final schedule December 13th. They haven't – I don't know if they gave us a time, and I'm sure it's during Feinbaum or right after. I bet it's right after Feinbaum, like 7.
It's at – yeah, I think it's at 7.
Yeah,
I looked up.
That would make sense that they just do it on SEC Now or whatever. So, yeah, well, it'll be a schedule release show. Some of them have already leaked out, but which – Georgia week 3, South Carolina, I don't know if that's confirmed, but we're operating that's week 2.
Process of elimination.
Yeah.
Can check me if you want. Every other team, SEC team on Kentucky's schedule has a game that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they have to play South Carolina unless they both got a week 2 bye week, which I think Shane Beamer and Mark Stuth would both throw a fit about.
Right.
If
right.
they don't want a bye week that
they
early.
They get two bye weeks next year, which is weird calendar oddity.
Yeah. I think that's you're going to get South Carolina at home in week 2, then you're going to get Georgia at home in week 3, and then you've got the Ohio, I believe, in week 4. And I think that's the schedule. Southern Miss week 1, then you're going to go 4 home games in a row. You're going to go Southern Miss, South Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, start the year.
Quite the sandwich there where Vandegrift won't have that extra rope. It's one game, and then, all right, here's an SEC opponent, and then you're playing your former team, which – I'm sure there won't be any emotions there that he'll be having to deal with. So it's just a wide. I have confidence that Vandegrift can be really good at Kentucky and can be what many people hope him to be at Kentucky. The question is, though, is just how long does it take, right? And we've got a lot more experience dealing with this in basketball, which is why, you know, I hate to bridge that gap, but, like, when you have guards struggling in – being inconsistent early, that's them figuring out. The same thing you're going to happen with quarterbacks who are starting for the first time. I mean, it took Levis 5-6 weeks to really get cooking there. Now, some of that was on the coordinator, right? And we're a little bit more confident that the coordinator and the quarterback will be on the same page this go-around and that the offense might be better suited to fit him, particularly with some of that zone read stuff. But still, there's going to be, like, there's going to be some bumps on that road, right? Like, he's going to throw – safety's going to jump a route where he just doesn't see him. Like, that stuff like that is going to happen. But I really like the mobility aspect, though, especially if you have, like you mentioned, an efficient running back who can get those third and short and mediums. Because, I mean, Kentucky's third down offense was so bad so many times. And that 2021 season was just beautiful. Because even if Will couldn't throw it to Wandale or whoever, his ass could run that 5, 6, 7, 8 yards or whatever. And that's what Vandergriff will bring back into the fold for this Kentucky offense.
I agree. I think the run element is going to be big here. It's going to give them more built-in answers in the run game. I think this year, part of the reason they were so pass-happy is they didn't have those built-in answers. It was pretty much Ray Davis or bust. And especially when he couldn't get going, they were in trouble in a run game operation. I think they're going to have more variety, more answers with Vandergriff, specifically in the zone read game. And with Cohen admitting and Stoops admitting they want to look at tempo and doing some different stuff, spread stuff, I think he will fit that. And there's going to be things he can do to hurt defenses. He's got traits. I think he's got a high ceiling. But where is the floor for him? I would say as a passer is really the big question here. Something you're just going to have to find out once he starts getting live action in games on Saturdays this upcoming season. But this is a guy I think can make some big boy throws and can do some things, specifically off script, and just move in the pocket and do other things. And he can make some of the throws, I think, down the middle, Nick, that are not easy throws, tight window throws on crossers that Cohen's offense will ask his quarterback to hit. I think he can hit those. And so I think accuracy is a big question over time and over a full season. Can he hit the throws you need him to make? I think that's a big question, but he's got a ton of talent, and he can really, really be a good quarterback if it hits because of all the physical trait boxes he checks. You just got to see if he can go do it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot there to like, and similar to kind of Will Levis, I think Cohen's going to have be able to mold him more so, where Leary, I think, was so established as a starter, he kind of was who he was at that point. And where this one, there's going to be, I think, more personal and player-wise development going on there. And we'll see how it works out. But I like the process here with Vandergriff. I like what he brings to the table. Now you just got to go and develop him.
Yep. And that's the part where you do trust Cohen, right? You give him a little bit of rope there.
Well, you better trust him because you're paying him $1.8 to $1.9 million. So that's where that comes in.
Can I just say, too, that it's pretty nice that it's Wednesday here, and I saw our guy, J.D. Pickell. He had predictions for all the transfer quarterbacks, and it was like a dozen, maybe 15. That would just be – it would be exhausting if we had to play this game for a long time. Less than 48 hours, open and shut case. So glad to
– Now we just get to play it with every other position.
Exactly. I'm expecting Vandergriff to be on campus this weekend. I haven't been able to confirm it, but he'll probably be there along with Raymond Cottrell from Texas A&M and a few more visitors. I believe Devin McCulley is still on, or Donovan McCulley. Michigan is cranking it up there. That feels like that's going to be a tough one to beat there, so but I think, like you said on KS Board, though, like there is no shortage of good wide receivers. That was just one that the Cats got on early. You really liked where they were, and you thought that ceiling was very high for that kid.
Yeah, I think similar to Trainum, like if his metrics hold up in testing that Bruce Feldman reported, like that dude's getting drafted full stop. He could run for 8 yards next year. Someone's going to use a flyer on the 6th-round pick for him. But the same with McCulley. That's a draft pick. Like, they're going to draft him regardless. Where he kind of ends up in the draft is going to be determined this season. And there's a lot to like with him. I thought the ceiling was really high with McCulley. And him and Cottrell both, Nick, it's clear they want an X receiver. Like, they need another X receiver, a big X receiver that they can go to on 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, or go across the middle. They only had – Dane Key was really the only one that could do that this year on the outside. And I think that's important to find. I think Cottrell and McCulley both fit that. I think, you miss on McCulley, I could still see them look to find one, but I think Cottrell brings a lot to the table to like. You kind of dig into him, he's kind of got a similar profile to Dane Key. Big-bodied receiver, good route runner, catches everything. Dane caught a lot his freshman year. Sophomore wasn't so good, but has a very like strong hands, he's good at the catch point, which Dane is. He's just got to get back to what we saw more so his freshman year, but we still see him make some tough, strong catches. And that's, I think, something they're looking for. And I think Cottrell, I like where they stand with him going into this visit. And it's obvious they're looking for other help, too, there at receiver. I mean, I think they're going to add 2 to 3 guys. So Cottrell will be one, and then where do you get the others? Macklin's the other one, the North Texas transfer that we know of as of right now. And there's some other ones that are kind of, I think, filling out a little bit. But it's clear they want to get multiple receivers this year. Yeah. They did not like how that happened. And for the wide receiver coach, at this point, I would assume it's going to happen after signing day. That it's taken so long, it feels like the guy they want is on a staff somewhere and doesn't want to leave yet, would be my guess. But I could be wrong.
Wasn't the deadline today?
So for what?
I mean, because you have to have job postings for a week, right? I know that's a fact, but
okay. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like that might be the case where, hell, we could get one Friday. I need to go look because I know the job posting has since been taken down. I think it has. Hell, but I know that state law, you got to have it open for a week before you fill it. So it's either a Friday or a after signing day. One of the two. We had somebody ask a question.
If it's Friday, we'll find out tomorrow. It'll leak out tomorrow, Thursday, if it's Friday.
Well, and even if it's not official, like they can have the like, all right, we reported it's this guy, so he'll start recruiting, but not official, you know, an official capacity sort of deal.
My thing with it is it's just been real quiet.
Yeah, there hasn't been any, like, watch these two names or anything like that. But I will say there is information is really hard to come by right now. There's not a whole lot getting out over there. So as much as things have been buzzing, they are making a concerted effort to keep certain things quiet. So that is a prerogative of one high-ranking official. I will not mention exactly who, but you can guess. There's a couple guys who run stuff over there, and some of them they don't want stuff out.
Are you saying that was part of the
knockdown drag them out?
the talks on Saturday night after the Louisville win. Are you saying that?
Which is great for our job. Like it. It's just,
yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Like damn. Like you can't. It does you a little bit of good. Well, it does me a lot of good if you'll talk to me a little bit. Which that brings us to what Josh asked about the any smoke to the Bo Allen rumors, because I love where we're getting some of the smoke is coming from, because it's all like blue-haired circles in Lexington like it. You know, it's all like the kind of good old boys around town who know stuff. Here's the thing, because we mentioned Vandegrift, but like...
Makes sense on a surface level.
Right, because you just need somebody there, and you ideally aren't throwing Cutter in. I don't know. Like that's my thing though. Is like, don't you want to throw them in?
Yes, I'm with you there.
like that, that's the part that I don't get. You need bodies, but do you need that one? Maybe
it's insurance.
Yeah, because your other alternative would be Deuce Hogan. Maybe. I mean, he entered the portal and deleted the tweet, and we haven't heard from him in 2 days. So I don't really know what the hell is going on there. And I know there's like talk about him maybe being wanting to coach. So like this is just him going to grad school to get a start on being a GA. He just doesn't feel like doing the thing in Georgia Southern anymore. So I don't know. Service level makes sense as insurance, but it would be unusual. Let's say that, Mr. Luckett. Let's say that.
It would. But it's not like that unusual from like Gunnar Hope going back to Ohio State. It would be kind of that kind of addition.
Yeah, it's just that Gunnar Hoke didn't start at Ohio State, right? You know,
if everything went to plan, Bo Allen wouldn't either. But he has at least some knowledge of Cohen's offense. Mm-hmm. He probably helped Vandegrift with the transition.
He played for a year at the FCS level, you know. I mean,
yeah, specifically in a room where, you know, they're not going to have anybody that has any familiarity with this offense, and that hurts a little bit when they go out and do some individual stuff where at least you would have an old head there that could be like, oh, we do this, or on this we look at this. That, blah. You know what I'm saying? Just let's work on this concept where you wouldn't have that if it was just Vandegrift. I mean, it would just be him like Fresh Prince until Cutter shows up, right?
Yeah, which except Cutter's he's never lived here. January,
yeah, that's so, true.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's something to monitor. Kentucky certainly needs depth there. I need to ask you a very important question, like, because you were really smart. You used the Game Time app. You went down to Everbank Stadium. You got to see the sights, see the scenes before the Cats go to the Gator Bowl. I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet. I've been kind of putting it off. You took vacation last weekend. I'm taking some this weekend. I'm going to check a lot of those Christmas shopping boxes off my list. So one of those can easily be done by just going to gametime.co or download the Game Time app, finding some tickets to a great event, bada boom, bada bam. And what's great, too, is they're all online. So you can just, like, wrap up a box, and then they open it, and they're like, there's nothing in there. And then they turn around, and you show them your tickets. You're like, oh, it's right here. And we're going to this amazing concert. We're going to the Gator Bowl, which, like, one of my favorite Christmas gifts ever. Back when the Cats used to play a game at Freedom Hall every year.
Yeah.
I maybe went to, like, the Athletes in Action game, if I was lucky. So, like, it was a rarity to go to a Kentucky basketball game. And even then, you're sitting at the upper deck at Rupp Arena. We were in the third row to watch the Cats play Austin Peay. And, oh, I got to go early. I got to watch Shigari Alin miss a dunk before halftime because he jumped too high. It was incredible. And you know what? The Cats were beating him, but we still thought it was hilarious to say, let's go Peay. It was a memory that lasted a lifetime. Game Time wasn't around then. It's around now. Go make memories that last a lifetime. Game Time app, promo code KSR, $20 off your first purchase with Game Time. Luckett, how was Everbank Stadium?
Beers are expensive. Oh. So if you're coming down for the Gator Bowl, be ready for that.
$12.50?
More.
No.
Yeah.
How much?
It was like close to $15 for like a 25-ouncer.
Well, I mean, at least it's 25, but
gosh. No draft in the section we were in. I don't know about other sections, but it was just cans. If they had the express lines like you see at Kroger Field.
Yeah, those are nice.
So that makes getting it pretty easy.
Yeah. Was getting in and out. Yeah, I know it was Monday Night Football.
Traffic was a monstrosity getting out of there.
The good news is I don't think that an overtime Monday Night Football game, the Jags first, that, in how many years? I don't think it will have quite the demand as the Gator Bowl.
But that's just how it is down there. For the Florida-Georgia game, which is massive people, I mean, traffic is an absolute nightmare down there. The infrastructure is not great. They're making some changes to that, but I don't know if that's going to be any better. Like, us driving in there, it was. We got there about 3-4 hours before kickoff, and traffic was bad getting in there. So,
oh wow, okay.
Just get ready for traffic. Right, now early. Inside the stadium, it's a nice stadium. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say it's the nicest, but the seats up top are good. You feel like you're close to the field, even if you're up top. Everything's labeled pretty easy. Getting up to the upper concourse is not hard. They got escalators if you're up top. Seats are good. Jacksonville, like, Nick, I was worried about, you know, you see the NFL videos, right? The YouTube fans fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Jags fans were super nice. People are super nice down there in Jacksonville. Tailgate-wise, there's plenty of options and lots that you could go tailgate in. You have to be prepared for pay parking. It might be a little expensive. And then there's a couple bars downtown, but that's kind of it. There's not a lot of bars down there. But they're building it.
Torn down.
Gutted the landing, but they're building an entertainment district down there that's going to go on with whenever the new stadium. So once they get that down there,
it's going to be nice.
It's going to be pretty. It's going to be very nice, and they'll probably potentially host the Super Bowl again. But for now, that's not what you're going to see. But it's a nice stadium. Like, it's not a bad stadium. It's not a bad place to watch a game. I think customer service wise, the concession lines move fast. I had no issues. It was a very enjoyable experience.
Well, and your team went there, and my team won. And kicked their ass,
But even outside of that, like, just everything set up, it was nice and easy. Enjoy the experience.
I still cannot believe that happened. Man. Which also, shout out Josh Allen. That dude is going to make so much
money. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Much money. This all. He picked a good time to have the best year of his career. All right, Luckett. Let's talk about it. This morning we learned four coaches got contract extensions. I had talked myself into it about three quarters of the way into the season that, you know what, Zach Yenzer has done a pretty good job with this group, right? Last year was a disaster. They made good portal additions. And I know that Stoops was hesitant to say nice things about that group. I also think that's kind of a purposeful thing, too, as like a motivating tool, right? Like, to kind of keep them on edge a little bit. Because they finished top four in sacks allowed and tackles for loss allowed in the SEC, and they had one of the better rushing offenses in the league, too. I mean, Ray Davis ran for 1,000 yards. So, like, you know, you've said it often. They weren't great, but they were pretty good. And I was like, you know what? I had convinced myself continuity is important. Keeping Zach Yenzer would be significant. Anwar Stewart, defensive line coach, he got a contract extension. He was one of the lowest paid assistants on staff. That unit's been performing very well. And you know what? He's doing some work in the panhandle, too, that I think is going to start paying dividends soon. It hasn't really yet. But you're paying him because the D-line's playing well, right? So I'm like, I'm all for it. Was a little surprised with the Mike Stoops, Frank Bufano stuff, especially Frank, because as our pal Bagel on KS Board, if you're on KS Board, everybody knows Bagel. Bagel called him Frank Buffoon, which I thought that was hilarious. But they didn't make a change there. That groom didn't get better. He's not providing much recruiting wise. I know he's been here a long time. And I mean, they didn't really give him a raise or anything; just kept him around. It just feels like that they're not doing anything there. That surprised me, because that would have been an easy opportunity to keep Mike Stoops around and have him coach what he knows instead of linebackers position he's never coached.
Yeah, I think you hit most of that there, Nick. For Yenzer, like, they were improved, but the high school recruiting in that room,
it's
borderline, like, I'm trying to think of the word, but borderline unsustainable, not something you can live with long term. Vince is carrying a lot of weight there.
Yeah.
Building that room, which is why he's paid $1.3 million, so that's part of the deal.
Part of this year, too, is we've been told this tackle group stinks. Which is why they kind of swung big for three or four guys, but then at least that's kind of what we've been led to believe, right? It's like, we're going to go after a couple, but we're not going to take a lot of gambles on some of these players.
Mm-hmm. And so I get bringing him back. They're not giving him a raise at all.
No.
He's making the same he was going to make in 2023. I get not wanting to have O-line turnover, coach turnover. So I get all of that, bringing him back. I do. Anwar, I think the recruiting is a question with him.
Yeah,
but
he needs to be better. But
his room has been good.
Yes.
And Brad White trusts him. And they've been good. And they've developed depth. Deion Walker is turning into a superstar, and he deserves some credit for that. In my opinion. And they lost Justin Rogers, didn't miss a beat. They got Keyshawn Silver out of the portal. No one else really wanted him. He turned into a productive player. There's young guys that are developing, getting in the rotation. Even a guy like Darian Henry Young showed progress this year.
Yeah.
So, before he got injured.
It's the one position right now that I'm comfortable fits the recruit and develop mantra, right? Like, yeah. they're developing guys well in there.
Yeah. So, you don't have really an issue with that. Mike Stoops, you're not going to get rid of him. I'm not surprised. He didn't get a raise either, though, Nick, for this next year. Yep, he's making the same. And he's getting bumped up 25,000 as kind of your number two. That's just the cost of doing business. Bufano didn't get a raise either, but he's going to get a raise in 2025. I think there's, you know, some head scratching with that from where I'm sitting. I'm not in the facility or whatever, but the safety room got worse this year. I don't think that's a bold statement. Mm-hmm. Coverage was an issue this year. And so you had two disappointing seasons in a row.
Yes.
And your defense took a step back this year. And you're saying just run it back. So
yeah, that's the part that
you can do. Like, he can do what he can do it, and he said Mark Stoops talked about stability, and that's fine. But that's going to be brought up this season as soon as a player misses a tackle. They're going to catch some heat for that, for just running it back, and we'll see how it plays out. I think there's a prevailing thought that we've seen it on our board that Stoops is just keeping it together until the next job comes open after the A&M thing. And I can't get on people for thinking that.
No.
Because I get it. And, you know, we all know Iowa's out there.
Right.
So that's just kind of where we're at there. I do think part of this, Nick, Brad White's making $1.6 million this year. Liam Cohen's making $1.8 million this year. And Vince Merrill's making $1.3 million this year. That's a lot of where your money's tied.
Correct.
Into.
And that's why they're leaning.
So you need them to carry a lot of weight.
That's why you're leaning on them for recruiting a lot too. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of what's being asked of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's just kind of where they are. I do think, like, Nick, we're going to go into the season and, like, we're probably going to be really worried about cornerback again. Safety, they're going to have some guys back with experience, but what does it look like when you go up against good passing offenses again? Pass rush. You know, we talked about the defensive line, but where's the pass rush?
Yeah, yep.
There's some concerns with the defense. And
Lewis brings up a very good point here in the chat. Why doesn't Mark help with the DBs? That's his specialty. So here's the thing, Lewis, is that he does. If you go to practice during individuals, you know, when he's not doing his Mark Stoops strut around the practice field monitoring, he's with the DBs, right? He's on their asses. We've watched him undress Chris Collins on the football field. It was quite the sight. He's very hands-on there. But the problem is, though, is that, like, I don't know how to – it's really difficult to illustrate how significant your position coaches are on a college football field because there's so many people there. I mean, they're your main coach, right? And then – they're the ones you're working with day to day. They're the ones you have the closest relationship. They're the ones busting your ass consistently. And you know what? Sometimes you might feel like you have the right to bust their ass back, and you should. Like, that's kind of how – that's the streak that it works. And I'm sure there's times when the DBs come over when they're like, oh, shit, coach is here. You know, like that. And that's the part of this whole thing where – from a development standpoint, where are you going? And that's why, like, I haven't really – I know Chris Collins has caught some flack from some, but, like, Max Harrison has turned out to be a really good guy. Drew Phillips believes he's good enough to go pro, you know? And, I mean, I worry that Carrington Valentine clouded his judgment there, but nevertheless, like, he at least got to that point, you know? And Collins is at least getting guys on campus to recruit. Like, he's doing an okay job, so I can, you know, you can talk me into it. But to get back to your point, like, your general thought is that two 7-5 seasons that were underwhelming, and the only change he made was firing Rich and bringing back Liam, which received universal praise. But, like, you know what?
And Boulware, you got
okay, yeah,
that all out of there,
true. Yeah.
But again, not but you would like Bufano and Settle, I think, are pretty similar. Like, I think Bufano's had a little bit more recruiting success, but. So I don't know. Maybe it was just a thing where he just didn't think he could get anybody. And I also think it's important to note that Chris Collins and Frank Bufano are pretty cheap.
Yeah,
here
sure.
We're talking about SEC assistants. Now, part of that goes away because you gave Amar Stewart a big pay bump from $350,000 to $500,000.
There you go.
To $500,000. At least that's what I wrote down here. So
there's a $200,000 raise, I think, by the second year.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and call for people to lose their jobs, but I just think there's going to be criticism.
People are going to be upset that not more changes were made because we thought there might be as many as five. I mean, like, we wouldn't be surprised if they made that many and they're only going to make one. And that's kind of why we're having such a long discussion about this because they fell very short of the bar this year.
And more, so no, I think it's fair to like why is the extra assistant on defense with the problems they've had on offense?
Yeah, it's a good point.
I think that's a fair thing to ask out loud. So I don't know. Like, who
feels
these
like
guys?
You're holding something back at him. Just come on. You're over here. You're wanting to say something. Just.
This is just not the 2018 staff that had Brad White, Matt House on it, right? Clink scale. This is not John Schlarman with Eddie Grant or Eric Wolfert with Liam Cohen, for what Wolfert brought as a recruiter.
Yeah.
I think that's concerning. Well, defensively, specifically. I feel like you're asking a lot of White, because Collins is still young. Like, he's still learning. This is his first Power 5 job. It's Bufano's first Power 5 job, right? Mike Stoops was a head coach. It was a long time since he was an assistant again. And this is Amar Stewart's first Power 5 job.
Yeah.
I think you're just asking a lot of those guys, but maybe that's the price you pay when you need to pay a coordinator this much money that they're paying them.
That's true.
So that's just –
yeah,
that's
and
all. I mean,
and
that's
I think
it.
A lot of
the
criticisms too also come back to the recruiting aspect for some of these guys, right? Like the loudest critics are mostly the people who care the most about recruiting, and Vince is earning his salary right now. Like, say what you want about Vince, dude is doing a good job cleaning up this class. But with the coaching changes, as much as we want to harp on them, the one coaching change has seen a lot of defections from the state of Tennessee. They got rid of Woodward. Shamar Porter is in the portal. The Wade twins are in the portal. Elijah Groves flips to NC State, which it's pretty clear that was a nil situation there. He was a little bit further down. He wanted a little bit more. Kentucky wasn't willing to go there. So you know what? Good for him. But you're seeing that happen there. And we did need to specifically address, though, just, man, the Wade's got to feel very awkward right now. Because, I mean, they were always the quietest, nicest kids. And then to have their dad go to Main Street Maury, who I'm sure was just their good old boy in Summit, I want to say, small town outside of Nashville. You know, that guy's just always covered their program, and I just it shocked me that he would be that not that the parents would be that outspoken, but just the contrast from the kids to the mom and dad, where the disappointing part is just that you just hope that, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do, fine. You just hope that some clouded judgment isn't going to wreck Keaton's career just because people are saying that his brother could be Mike Vick. When it's like, you know, the part about they didn't give Destin a chance. It's like, man, he got more of a chance than anybody ever thought he was going to get at a Power 5 level. Like, he throws it like a baseball. Like, there's that's not – I can't – I wanted him to line up at safety when they had all those injuries this year, right? Like, he's a good athlete. He's a pretty good athlete. But quarterback, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Kentucky, I think, knew this, what the gamble was here. I think they rolled the dice. They always knew this could come up. And I think that's just what happened. And so I think you just both sides move on and go your separate ways. And that's, I think that's really it at the end of the day. It is what it is. Destin's not going to be a quarterback here. And if that's what they want to do, shake your hand, tell them good luck.
Yeah.
You know, and just that's it. And, you know,
The
parents complaining is never. That's always going to be a thing for anywhere.
It's college football.
It's part of the deal. I mean, hell, you get that in Little League, Nick. So it just is what it is. I really don't think we need to put too much thought into it. It just didn't work out, and that, you know, you go your separate ways.
I don't know if this was the fact or not. Like, I don't. I think they'd been trying to convince him to try another spot. I'm pretty sure that was the case. 90% sure that was the case. I mean, could they show him the Joey Gatewood tape? Okay, do you want to bounce around to three different schools before you figure it out?
But who is it? Is it the kid making the decision or is it the parents?
It's true.
We don't know. Yeah. So this seems like a complicated situation from what we know. And again, I think it was probably best for both parties just to move on at this point. And that's what's happening.
And I think Kentucky will ultimately end up being just fine when it's all said and done.
Nick, I do want to – Andrew Phillips.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We kind of gloss over that.
I just want to get back to the secondary.
Yeah.
Him and Carrington Valentine were both kind of borderline draft guys.
Mm-hmm.
And those are guys that Kentucky has to keep, right? Those are the guys you need to win more of those decisions to keep them here. Carrington was a 7th-round pick. We'll see where Phillips ends up. I imagine mid to late day 3 at best, but I could be wrong. We'll see how the draft process goes for him. But those are guys like you just got to be able to keep those guys in your room because it's 2 years in a row now where you're just going to be having a big hole at corner. That you don't really know how you're going to feel. And so we'll see how they feel it. But those are just guys, man, you got to keep, especially at a position where, Nick, they just don't – this is not a position they really recruit well. Like, finding good corners in Ohio is typically hard to do and in Kentucky because Ohio State usually grabbing them. Kentucky doesn't produce a lot of them. So you have to go down in Georgia and other places to get them. And a lot of times you're getting – you know, the high to mid 3 stars, which takes some development. So when you lose guys that you do develop, right, to become quality starters and they have years of eligibility and still room to improve as a player.
You're missing out on their best year.
Yeah, it's just you got to keep those guys in the room. And to have that happen 2 years in a row is not good. And I think they're going to feel that on the field next year. I mean, that one's going to, I think, sting for them. And you just got to be able to keep guys like that. And that it happened at the same position twice in back-to-back off seasons is just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to feel that because I think a lot – it's going to be easy for people to complain about Phillips or say, oh, this or that. I think people did that with Carrington Valentine last year. And then games are going to start and you're going to think, well, if they had him, they'd be in a lot better shape.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. I do want to wrap up the show by taking some questions from KS Board. We got some good ones in here, but first, I need to tell you about our friends at FanDuel. We got Army Navy this weekend.
Hell yeah.
A lot of NFL action this weekend. Playoff races heating up. We got NBA end season tournament. We got college basketball. A lot going on. You can get in on all the action with FanDuel. Really looking forward to cashing my Jane Daniels Heisman play. I'm feeling pretty confident about that. And you should feel pretty confident when you go to FanDuel Sportsbook because it's the best sportsbook app in America. It's easy to deposit your money. It's easier to withdraw. That's what's most important, making sure you can get that winnings back. And you can get $150 in extra money to play with bonus bets. Just make an initial deposit, place a $5 money line wager, win that. You're getting $150 in bonus bets this holiday season with our friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Just use promo code PERSONNEL when you sign up or visit FanDuel.com/PERSONNEL to lock in that sign up bonus. But I do need to remind you that you must be 21 and over, present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.Sportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. There's some questions on KS board. Look at I don't even want to say his name because it's inappropriate, but Steve, he's asking, I know a lot of focus on the transfer portal, but any high school recruits we should look out to celebrate Footless? I haven't heard any Rico buzz, but I think that's purposeful.
Yeah, I think with Bufano staying, I feel really good about them getting Cam Dooley now because he was a lead recruiter for him. And then Rico Scott is obviously one. But, Nick, I just don't know how many guys they're going to take.
Yeah.
Because they're at 22 right now with Groves backing out. They need to add transfers. They still need to whittle down some scholarship wiggle room on the current roster. So I think they're pretty close to max out. We'll see where they end up at the end of the day. But that's just where I think they stand.
Here's a question from Shaka Luckett. Are you drinking their crocodile tears for Florida State? You mad?
I think Florida State has a real case for being an undefeated power conference. In any other year, I would say that yes. And I think we opened a can of worms by the committee doing that. But at the same time, I think you have to look at this specific situation in this specific year. They've never had this amount of one-loss/undefeated power conference teams. So that made the decision more complicated. And lastly, I think it's an indictment on that conference over there. Yeah. Everyone knows that conference stinks. No, everyone knows it. Yeah. No one's hiding it. Everyone knows that conference over there with 7, 8, 9 sub-50 recruiting operations that do not take football seriously. Everyone, when they play in a bunch of NFL stadiums, no one goes to the games. Everyone knows that conference stinks, and I think that's what bit Florida State. Florida State knows it. They sat there and made a bunch of noise in the summer about how this conference sucks. And that conference affiliation is why they're not in the playoff. I think that was the bottom line, and I think that's probably going to speed up the exit process for them and Clemson. And so I think it's the beginning of the end for the ACC. And Greg Sankey was out telling people why the SEC needed to be in there, right, on game day. And on SEC, where was Jim Phillips? So no, I think it was an indictment on that league. I think it's very unfortunate that it happened, but I think it was a special situation. And I think a conference that the two big dogs are telling them, you know, this stinks, let's get out of here. I think they kind of told on themselves a little bit, and I think that's just kind of how it played out at the end of the day.
12 of the top 13 teams were going to be in the SEC or Big Ten next year. That's the way the sport's going. It's going to open a can of worms, but for, you know, playoffs changing next year. So things will be different. Brian wants to know if Ox is coming back. Yep, that's why he didn't go through senior day. And that gets us to our next question from Jake the Snake, which we don't like to put predict portaling or – but let's just rapid fire some stay or go, right? Deuce Hogan, who knows? Maybe they talked him into staying.
Probably. Depends if they get a second quarterback, like a Bo Allen. If they got a Bo Allen –
yeah, then he'd be gone. Maybe they told him they're not getting one, and they just want him to stay, right? Like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely some funny business going on there.
Yeah, wide receiver Brandon White. Maybe they're just not going to get another slot, and he's going to be number two to Anthony Brown next year. And he's fine.
Yeah, I thought he would be one that moved on, but that hasn't happened, so maybe so.
Lavelle Wright, he has been injured for most of his career, and I think he could graduate too. So that's one.
I had him on my list, but the longer this goes, the more you have to think. Maybe he's staying. So that's gonna one. If that's one to watch, both post bowl and spring, he might be close to.
Yeah.
What would be their unofficial cut list? I would say.
Right. Tanner Bowles is on here, but he can't transfer again. He was a grad transfer, and they'd like to. I think they'd want to keep.
Well, he has a free. You have two transfers if you're a graduate. He's only used one, so he could transfer again. But I think they want him back for just to have that depth on the offensive line. And I don't think he's itching to leave from.
Right, right. I don't know what I've uncovered. Paul Rodriguez is in there, and that's maybe
similar
to Lavelle.
I think borderline. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know what was said in those meetings, but that could be another one too, where this spring he doesn't end up landing where he thinks he should on the depth chart and ends up bolting.
Like what happened with Wollaball last year in Buford. Yeah. And here's the thing. Some of these guys, they're just going to have maybe tough conversations with guys that don't want to leave. A lot of this at the beginning might just be guys who are ready to leave, or these guys that might get, because eventually you got to make the numbers meet. And depending on how many transfers you get, you got to find a way to make it work.
A defensive line, Jake the Snake has Ox, Josiah Hayes, and Ribka. I thought they all had good years.
Yeah, I think they'll all be back.
Yeah. So I don't, unless, and I haven't gotten any.
Unless it's a Justin Rogers situation for one of them.
But I don't think that would happen unless they just start feeling froggy. But I would expect all of them back. J.J. Weaver's an interesting one that you brought up on Monday on the football podcast that we'll be following closely. And they mentioned Noah Matthews, but, hell, he might have a faster path to playing time now, you know?
You just look at all those high schoolers coming in, Nick. Like, that's just a loaded room. So I think Wade was one. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another, especially if Weaver stays.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point, too. Like, one of those two will probably be there next year, but probably only one of those two. Fair to say?
I think so.
He's got D-Jack and Wallace. D-Jack ain't going anywhere.
He did go through senior day, and I didn't think Andrew Phillips was going anywhere, and he declared. So I think it's with him, he's probably going to look at the draft and then just make a decision. I think Trevin Wallace is probably doing the same. So I think for both of those guys, it's going to be post-bowl decision. Kentucky really needs them to stay.
It would be disappointing if both of them left, in my view. Mostly because D-Jack, I think, is just a great college linebacker, but I don't know what his weaknesses are, the thing you can't do in the NFL, and that's that fast twitch, being able to operate in open space. I just don't think he has the juice out there. And in Wallace's case, I really just – I mean, I didn't think Jamin Davis would blow up in the way he did, and maybe Wallace can too. But Jamin also produced. I mean, he had some incredible numbers that 2020 season.
Yeah, that was year four. I mean,
that was incredible, and this was just year three for Trevin. And while he was a badass in the month of September, that production really tailed off. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're not really comparable between Trevin and Jamin there. So I hope that and here's the other thing too. Look, they're so two peas in a pod that I could see if one goes, they both go.
I could definitely see that. Like they're going to be if they both leave, Kentucky's going to be in scramble mode.
Yeah, which
in that
be,
position.
Yeah, I don't think. Jacquez Jones is walking through that door. And then they have a couple defensive backs. Jake the Snake does. Elijah Reed and Avery Stewart. I would hope Avery Stewart doesn't.
I think, too,
to be a player.
Buffano recruited him, so
yeah,
you would think he's going to be good to come back. And then Reed, I think he's another one of those, kind of like with Paul Rodriguez and Brandon White, probably a borderline guy. And we'll see where he's at if
especially
he stays for spring, where he is at spring practice.
He did the corner thing. He did the safety thing. Maybe he's not happy with moving positions or something like that. You could see that happening. They also mentioned Wilson Berry, but are they going to get another punter? Are we going to keep doing that game? We saw one punter going to the portal, and it was like, oh, People forget he was on the roster.
Yep.
People did forget that.
Yeah. Has Wilson Mary graduated? I think if he was going to transfer, it'd probably be after he graduates.
He's been here 3 years now. Correct?
Yeah. And he wasn't out there on senior day, so I don't think he's graduated.
It's true. That's true. That was a fun little game there, though. It's a fun little game. They're also asking for freshmen with meaningful snaps next season. That was from Old Man Gamer.
The other twins coming in. I don't think you have to worry about only one of them playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them dudes are playing.
I really would like Teron Nichols to be good enough to play right away, too.
They need him to play snaps next year.
They need that to be a hit.
He needs to be a hit. Yes.
Yeah, 100% agree. He is, I think he can be, but see when he gets here, right? That's also a position, too, like it we saw in the past. They don't, if you're good enough to play as a freshman, they'll play you as a freshman. They can make some stuff simple for you where it's just, hey, go guard that guy in front of you. Go do it. So hopefully that guy's a gamer.
Yeah, those to me are the three. And then I think you'll see Brian Robinson, one of Patterson Mizell, potentially Devin Smith, and Willie Rodriguez kind of become rotational players that will be borderline maybe redshirt decisions or guys that play 100-ish snaps at the end of the year.
So what we've realized, is every year a new freshman tight end does something awesome against Louisville. First, it was the ass kicker just shoving his fist through a Cardinal Bird's face. This year, it was Kamari Anderson jumping over a Cardinal Bird and getting a first down. So let's predict now, what's Willie Rodriguez going to do to Louisville next year in the Governor's Cup?
Maybe just absolutely deplete somebody on kick coverage.
Ooh, I like that. Screaming down on kickoff and he just blows up like two guys at once and makes a tackle inside the 10, forces a fumble maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm down for that. Sounds good for it. Can't wait to see it next year, Willie. Well, this has been a pleasure. We went a little long. It's been a little crazy. It's been very hectic. We got to go check the portal and make sure nothing's happened because we're probably going to have to post something as soon as we get out of here.
That's the life we've chosen, Nick Roush.
150 days till Kentucky Derby 150, Luckett. I hope you celebrate accordingly.
That means we are only about 90 until the Masters.
And about what?
Maybe a little less than that. That's usually about a month before Derby, so 120.
About 141-ish from the NFL draft?
Oh, that now we're talking, baby. That's the wheelhouse right there. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Man.
Well, this year, I'll get the old – because I don't think we're going to be going to the draft this year, Nick.
Nope.
I've got a sneaky feeling I'll be on the couch for that one, and I cannot wait to be locked in all seven rounds. But I will miss the McShay and Kuiper back and forth. I already saw McShay tweeting at him and talking smack about the Jordan Love arguments they had. And so I will miss that, but I'm ready for that. I'm ready to get into the draft season once we get this bowl game done with.
It's going to be a sprint. Make sure you're locked in with us wherever you're following along with Kentucky Sports Radio. We really appreciate you for joining us on 11 Personnel. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.